This is Tracy Smith and Claudia Derp from The Cider Junction in San Jose, California. We are a bistro and bottle shop, and you are listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 107. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Wincoller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we are in the Valley of Heart's Delight. Where's that? Well, it's actually in San Jose, California. Who knew, right? We're going to hear about that and the new Cider Junction, which is a cider bar opened by Claudia Derp and Tracy Smith. There's going to be so much more on that in just a moment. If you are a new listener to Cider Chat, welcome. This weekly podcast is, well, now in its second year and running. And the first part of the show, I kind of catch folks up on the news around Ciderville, around the world. And then about 10 minutes in or so, you could always scroll forward to the main chat, which again will be on the Cider Junction in San Jose, California. If you are a regular listener, welcome back. And for all of you out there in Ciderville, I want you to know that Cider Chat is now on Spotify. So if you are subscribed to Spotify, you could do that free download type of app thing for your phone. It's really good for folks who have it on Android. That's the way you're listening here. Cider Chat is now live there, so that's great. Then the other thing you should know is that there is a Cider Chat YouTube channel. And via that channel, I have now posted 3 episodes, primarily so that you could follow the closed caption on the YouTube site when you're trying to take notes. I thought that would help. It's as close to a transcript that I could do right now, except for the Neil Worley chat on Keeving. That is a transcript that's available for patrons of Cider Chat. But right now, there's also the Tom Oliver episode that went live just a week or so ago, where he was talking about making Perry. And then the Chad Cook episode with Cider Hill Cellars. He got really geeky, gave lots of cider making techniques. And then there's also Chuck Shelton from Albemarle Ciderworks in Virginia. Chuck is just a lovely being, a fantastic cider maker. That's a family farm down there, a family orchard, a lot of heritage apples, and well known for their single variety ciders. And he just had a delightful chat, so you might want to check that out too. It's a full episodes on YouTube, and again, you could just scroll forward if you want to just listen to the chat and get some of the particulars that they're talking about. So I'll be doing that from time to time as different episodes come live, and you could also subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Cider Chat, if I don't get to it a little bit. I might just be putting it up there. In fact, I'm going to be putting something up there for all of you around the beginning of the new year as a little holiday gift from me to you. So stay tuned for that. For the next couple weeks, you're going to hear me talking about the New York International Beer Competition. And tomorrow I'll be speaking to the founder, so we'll be having a follow-up actual chat on this. And there's a couple of reasons why I'm highlighting this particular competition. One is that, well, Adam, who I'll be talking to tomorrow, who is also known as the alcohol professor, came forward and asked if he could sponsor the competition on Cider Chat. And I said yes, because I am always looking for ways to get the word out about different things and certainly bring on sponsors as I can. But also, I don't just take any sponsor. There's a reason why I want to get involved with a certain company or business, because I think there's an interesting story there. And I think there is right here, and we're digging into it together. Competitions are a big thing for all libations, and certainly for cider right now. And one of the things I see is that there is a lack of cider judges who have had the breadth of experience of being able to have ciders, not just from one region, but globally. I think that really informs you. So the neat thing about this particular competition is that the judges are both distributors, buyers, people in the trade. Now, I'm not saying cider makers at all. And they are judging the ciders based on price point and the category. And recently, just this year, they are now incorporating the United States Association of Cider Makers' new categories that they have set for cider. And we're going to be talking about how does that also impact international ciders who don't necessarily follow the same category script that the U.S. Association does. So we'll follow up on that. But the interesting thing is the judges. So bear that in mind. And this is an opportunity then for new cideries, makers who want to get their product out to the actual buyers and getting that global end on it. And so there's no surprise that I see that Reverend Nat has won an award in the past, because you see how Reverend Nat's hard ciders that's based out in Portland, Oregon. I had actually Nat West on the podcast. Let me get the link for that. Episode 30. And you're seeing that those ciders from Nat West, his company, going now out to Japan and having a more global expansion of sorts. And of course, he's upping his game too for his business. So if this is something that you want to do, if you want to look outside of your local territory and really expand, this is a good idea. Some of the other ciders that have won awards, so we have the classic large cider makers in the U.S., we all know them, but there's also Citizen Cider up in Vermont. Then we have the Gypsy Circus Cider Company. And if that is familiar to you on Cider Chat, that's because we had Stephanie and Aaron on the podcast talking about both their cidery based in Tennessee and how they put on the Gypsy Circus event in Colorado. Gave away two sets of tickets last year. So they put in a couple ciders, and they've been winning some awards too. And then a little international, we have Adams County Cider from Ireland. We also have Weston Cider Company. That's a UK cider maker. And again, sure, there's a big, large corporate cideries. Another smaller one is Common Cider, based in Sparks, New York, who won for the Hibiscus Saison. It's kind of like a twist, right, of cider and beer. What I've been following along with competitions and just kind of noting in my non-statistical way is that there is, appears to be a little bit of a science to it on entering. And the thing that has to happen is you have to enter in order to get the info back. You know, you typically get notes from judges, and you get connections this way. It's the best way to get your cider out to a more global audience. Certainly, a lot of competitions are focused on consumer judges or peer judging, but this is a little bit different. This is from the buyer perspective for distribution. And I think that that is really something to be said about that. So we'll be following up with Adam and checking in on if he's going to actually expand the name, because not only do they accept beers, of course, they're accepting ciders. They're calling it the beer competition, the New York International Beer Competition. But there are these other two categories of cider and mead. So what will take place there? So I'm looking forward to that when I get to ask him more direct questions and see what he has to say. In the meanwhile, if you want to find out about this competition, you could go to the show notes for this episode here, number 107, or Google New York International Beer Competition, and there's an easy-to-use download form right there. CiderCon is coming up in January of 2018 at the end of the month there and going on to February 2nd. This is going to take place in Baltimore, Maryland, and it is the annual conference for the United States Association of Cider Makers. So if you haven't registered and you're in the trade, you definitely want to try to get to go there. I know it could be tough, but you definitely want to try to get to go there any way you can, because it is such an amazing burst of energy and what a resource of information. Which leads me to this tip of the week for CiderCon. Download the program now. And what I mean by that, the program of events and schedules, the workshops are going to be taking place on Thursday and Friday. And start familiarizing yourself with what is going to be offered. because there is that much. And it takes a bit to absorb it in and think, okay, how best can I use my time during that short window when there's going to be so much fun, and yet I could really use this time to up the ante for my own skills. So take a look at that. Download the program this week. There'll be a link to CiderCon in the show notes, or you could just Google CiderCon and find out the information there and see what they're doing. Even if you're not going to the conference, I think it'll be very informative to give you a sense of the market, what the association is looking at in terms of presentations, and to get a sense of the wealth of knowledge that is currently in Ciderville and how that's growing. Again, that's CiderCon in 2018. It's going to be happening at the end of the month in January, going to the 2nd of February. It's not February yet, but I am already California dreaming, specifically of the city of San Jose, California, where I had the privilege of being able to visit the Cider Junction and meet the publicans and owners, Claudia Derp and Tracy Smith. Now, true confessions here. I have flown in and out of San Jose International Airport many times, but I always beeline it out of the city and head to the beach. But this time, due to circumstances surrounding a family wedding and the fact that it was taking place in San Jose, well, I saw the opportunity to go and visit the Cider Junction only a month or less than a month after it had opened. And I am super duper pleasantly surprised. I see San Jose in an absolutely different light now. And there's no doubt about it. The fact that there's a cider bar there really has changed everything for me. But it's a little bit more of that. Both Claudia and Tracy gave me a glimpse into San Jose and the people there, and really gave me appreciation of the attraction. And they'll tell you more about it. So why don't we not hesitate any further and enter into this conversation? You notice that we go straight into talking about the ciders we're drinking, because these two gals, they are true publicans. And that's a rare breed indeed. People who could really invite you into their pub and make you feel like you're on top of the world. They are hosts at an extraordinary level. And there are publicans that I've met throughout my time of being in the libations world who really stand out. And I want to say that both Claudia and Tracy are one of them. So without further ado, let's you and I grab a glass and join this chat with Claudia Derp and Tracy Smith of the Cider Junction in San Jose, California. So I was given the you have the Gravesine and I have the 1876. And wow, that is delicious.
Do you taste that already?
I do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are they back sweetening that?
So with this one, so if they do back sweeten, remember with the majority of the cider makers that we're carrying, they're using the fresh pressed apple juice that they have on reserve. And then they're using honey or agave or any fruit. But for them, because they're using heirloom apples and only heirloom apples, they're not back sweetening a whole lot with their apples because they don't need to. The way that the Gowan family is more artisanal. So they have a 100-year-old plus orchard that they're pulling from, plus the whole upper Mendocino County area that they're getting stuff from. So when they do it, they're a little bit more meticulous with their cider making. So they're aging it really well. They have certain varietals that they blend together in their heirlooms. And so it gives a nice flavor profile. It's a very, very traditional cider.
That is a real traditional cider.
With those heirloom apples. And you can taste the difference with their cider, even when you try other ciders.
Of course.
And even if they're just an original or just a traditional, just apple cider, no other fruits added, you can really taste the difference between theirs and someone else's. So it's a little bit more cultivated.
It's all about the fruit.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all about the fruit.
The product is based upon that root there. Yeah. So
exactly.
Really, really key.
So you get a little bit more of the farmy from the Gravenstein's clean.
Yeah, I want to try the Gravenstein, which is so well known for this
sweeter.
Region.
It's so sweeter.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this is what is all over Sonoma and Napa.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. The Gravenstein apples are really a great apple to make cider out of.
Yeah.
It's just, they're really good.
It's not overly sweet.
Yeah. Correct.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. Just really well done.
What a quenchable experience. You know, mm-hmm. you're there and yet it makes you salivate a little bit more, kind of encouraging, like, don't put down that glass. I love that about cider.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, it fits your thirst need, but also your desire to keep on savoring it. Fantastic ciders.
That was myself, Tracy Derp, and also you heard the nose chiming in about the Gowan cider that we were drinking. Next, Claudia Derp will give us a background of this area of San Jose and the patrons that are coming into the Cider Junction.
The people who are coming in here, a lot of them are from here, from the community, just the willow blenders who live in the couple surrounding blocks that were just clamoring for something like this, it's like a community gathering point almost, because it's further down the road is where kind of Willow Glen Main Street is.
And is this area called Willow Glen?
Yes.
Is that, so
mm-hmm.
there's different communities within San Jose.
Yeah, correct.
What is the Willow Glen area known as?
It's a residential neighborhood, but it's kind of this own little community, and people who are in Willow Glen are very proud to say they're in Willow Glen. Mm. Like, there's this own Facebook group, just the Willow Glen neighbors. There's a Willow Glen charm that's run by a realtor with 80,000 followers because people would like to live here in Willow Glen.
It's a very close-knit community, so a lot of people know each other, but a lot of the residents are older residents. They've been here a very long time, and they've been here, I mean, quite a few of them have actually come in here, and they were happy because they love cider. They remember it from, like, the old days, and so they would come in, and they would say that, and this whole area used to be orchards.
Yeah.
It used to be cherries, it used to be apricots, it used to be plums, peaches, it just used to
not
be...
So much
when
apples,
you say
not
used
so much
to be,
apples.
Well, let's kind of put a little bit of a timeline here mm-hmm. on it.
Until the 50s, 60s
or
something.
50s or 60s,
This was before Silicon Valley. Yeah. This was called the Valley of Heart's Delight. It was
Heart's Delight.
Yes,
Valley of Heart's Delight.
This was all orchards. I mean, we have back there, you see, this was Willow Glen. It was all
the
orchards.
The pictures on the wall there.
I mean, we literally have old-timers coming and saying, it's like, oh, yes, it has changed a lot, but down to whatever the next cross street is from then on, it was all orchards. It was cherry orchards here, apricots. They had, I mean, this was the biggest food processing area at the time.
More
so
than
in the U.S.
Imperial Valley now in Southern Cal is known as, like, the big mega place.
Yeah, but this was for fruit, for dry fruit especially, for, like, apricots and plums, like prunes.
Yeah.
This was it. This was the valley, and it was all orchards.
Isn't that fascinating?
No, not apples. Apples were down in Watsonville.
What's your, like, short script for explaining cider to people?
So it depends on what they come in and what they ask. So we get quite a few people that come in who've already tasted ciders. So they've had a few travels, but not a lot. And so they see the variety that we have. So that's one of the number one feedbacks that we get a lot is they cannot believe how many different styles of cider we have in one location. And so they'll go to this place, or this place, and only be able to get one or two, or it'll be mainstream, everyday, marketable cider that they're drinking. So they don't know any different. And then when they come here, they'll ask questions. Oh, my gosh. And so it's usually not even, sometimes they'll say, well, do you recommend, you know, what do you recommend? And my first question to them is, well, are you a wine drinker or are you a beer drinker? You know, have you had mm-hmm. cider before?
Mm-hmm.
And then I want to get a little bit of background from them to find out, well, are you a beer drinker or are you a wine drinker? Because those make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I ask them, well, do you like things a little more sweet or do you like them a little dry?
Right.
Most ciders are fermented dry. It's not until they're back sweetened with the fruit that they're trying to use or any sort of, you know, sizers that are made with honey and so forth. But they don't know that until you educate them. Mm-hmm. So it's those kinds of questions.
Question, the basic answer is it's fermented apple juice, and we focus on craft ciders.
Yeah,
and,
I mean,
and it sounds trivial, but we've had plenty of people come through here and say, "What kind of beers do you have?" Talking about the ciders, referring to cider. We even have our own bar.
They'll call it cider beer.
Interesting.
Our own bartender keeps saying, "Is like, so what beers do we have new?" And we're like, "Blaine." He's like, "Oh, ciders, ciders."
I mean, now, I made the same mistake over here. I walk in as a beers because we had just finished talking about how many taps you had. And
there's the basic of the basic. It's fermented apple juice. And what we focus on are the craft ciders. Like, we really, like, look into, like, if anybody is using concentrates, then we would shy away from it.
If they're using
unless there is, like,
sugar,
an absolute demand. Away. I mean, we haven't had that yet. In most cases, we have said, no, sorry, but if you can carry them, and like, if you can buy them in the supermarket, we will most likely not carry them here. Unless they have a special release. Like, Angry Orchard, for example, is going in a direction where they actually make.
They have a side piece, just like Anthem and Wandering Angus. Yeah. They all have these specialty.
But like we created those posters up there of the apple, like the cider making process, so that we can just quickly point to it, or people can like look at it on their own time to just see. Well, cider really is just apple juice that's fermented and. Yeah. And either blend it or other things are added to it.
And that's the educational part, too, like with those, especially with the beer. People are so hung up on beer, so that's one of the things that we talk about, too, is that it's fermented like wine. So I will constantly tell them that and say, it's fermented, it's not brewed.
Yes.
You know, and then
the brewing
and then
thing.
And believe it or not, even those that are beer drinkers, they're not as educated about the beer either. So they kind of have this weird look on their face, and I'll be like, well, remember, it's boiled, you know, and
beer's
I said
boiled,
it's heated and boiled, and I said, I go, but fermented wines or apple cider is not, and then they're like, oh, wow, and then it's just, that's the educational part that we're trying to bring, and even if it's on the beers, too, because we still explain the beers, because a lot of people just ask, well, is it an IPA, is it a Pilsner, is it, going after
what's
the name.
What's your hobbyist?
Yeah, it's all...
What's your hobbyist?
Right.
They go after the name or the style. Yeah. They don't care about how it's made or what ingredients are in it.
Yeah.
But I make it a point to educate them on the beers and tell them where it's from, how they're making it, how you know what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, it's like this light bulb. You see it go off, and then they start asking questions. And that's what we want, because even for the brewers, they're in the same boat as the cider makers. They want people to understand and appreciate what they're actually making.
Right, the educational piece is so important. So how did this bubble about here? How did Cider Junction come to be? Let's kind of back up just a little bit. You just opened.
Yes.
This fall. We're in 2017. Not even, we're in
October 7th.
November right now. October.
October 7th is
October
when
October 7th, right. Yes. I remember meeting you at the Chicago Cider Summit.
Yes.
Which was in February of 2017, and you know, I felt like you're like buzzing around, just waiting to open the door. So first, I want to say congratulations.
Thank you.
This is huge.
Thank you.
It really is. It's really huge and exciting.
Yeah.
And you got here. I mean, where did this come from? What this vision to do this? I mean, Willow Glen is a cool place. I get that, and obviously the history's here. But what's your history to it all in connection?
It really started, we wanted to do something that was originally wine related. Like Tracy has been making wine at home, so we wanted to go down that path. You're in California, you think, oh, well, let's do something with wine. And then I went on a trip to the UK and I drank cider. And from that on, we looked at, like, what can we get it here in the U.S.? So we got the first, you know, like, the commercially available ciders, and they were decent enough. And then we looked into, like, well, how is cider made? And we realized it's made like wine. And that basically took us down the path, like, looking into, like, how long does it take to make it? And so at first we wanted to actually make cider. I took Peter Mitchell's cider making class.
Okay.
And because Tracy already had the background from the winemaking, so kind of, like, even footing, and that's when we looked at, we went to various trips to like Portland, Seattle, just trying all different kinds of ciders. And in the end, we figured, you know what, the ciders that we're making, you can drink them, but what we get like from every place else is so much better, and we have so much more fun trying other people's ciders that we wanted to actually bring that. And then on top of that, I think, well, even before we took the CiderCon class, like, open, there was one that said open a cider bar instead of making cider,
yes,
at CiderCon. And it was
recently.
I mean, even before that, we had already decided, you know what, we want to do something like they have
that
in
just
Portland.
Happened this year, though, yes. With Maddie Beeson. And
but that was, I mean, that was just coincident. It just confirmed,
okay,
that, I mean, we already had the lease signed when we went to CiderCon in February,
right.
So we were already down that path,
but it confirmed the right path for us to choose.
Yes. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I just, for the listeners to kind of catch up with us, we're talking about a workshop that was held at the 2017 CiderCon in Chicago. And it was all about the idea that, okay, you can keep on opening up the cidery, but what we really need are cider bars.
Yeah, correct.
And what I think is unique is when you go overseas, there's no cider bars. It's really only in the U.S. that you have. I mean, it's happening more. You know, you have the stable and whatnot in the U.K. and different places. So I shouldn't say that. But in the U.S., you're getting this cool focus specifically on cider bars. So you had this idea, was that like 2 years ago? Because you were in on it when I met you.
Almost 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Yes, 3 years ago that we started,
yeah.
Looking into, like, at first it was still going down the path of making cider, and then about 2 years ago is when we looked at, yeah, let's go the retail route. And because we had visited, you know, like Bushwhacker in Portland, and Portland Cider, the tasting room, and so on. And how much fun we had just being there in that whole environment. And so that's when we decided, switching to the retail route and really focusing on the story behind the craft maker, the craft cider maker. And that's what we have, and as part of our preparation for opening this, we call them little business trips, but really it was like visiting all the various cider makers that are within like a day's, 2 days drive, and actually, of course, tasting the array of their ciders, getting their stories, how are they making ciders, and so that we can be kind of like, I see it almost like as an extension, like as a tasting room, because they might not have one, but in a lot of cases they don't have a tasting room, and they're struggling with getting their ciders either on the shelves in supermarkets or liquor stores, or I mean, never mind tap handles in restaurants. It's a struggle.
Yeah. Right.
And so we wanted to showcase that because we just love the stories behind it and the products and the variety, really. And it's so far, it's been proven pretty well.
And it's, it was something that we travel to Europe on a trip, you know, we always look for cider. So we're always looking to talk with somebody. So we had, made a trip to Frankfurt in Germany to go to Possmann as well. So for us to go back to why we did it, well, we want to be that extension of their story.
Yeah.
And we can tell their story. We want to know their story. And we want to educate people on why they're even doing it and getting their ciders. Our vision from day one, and it's even in our logo, is we want to bring ciders in from around the world. You know, we want to give people that experience. It's all about the experience that they can have when they come here and they can taste and see the ciders that we have. And it's, some people may never get the chance to visit these different cideries or these cider makers and ever taste their product. Like Claudia said, they have a hard time getting stuff on the shelves. When there's that much competition from, big corporations and the beer market and so forth. So people like us give them that avenue. We give them that vessel in order to get their products to the consumer. And that's our vision, is to bring them in from around the world. And so we do have European ciders. We do have ciders from other states. And we want to just continue to expand on that.
And the other facet of that is, too, I mean, this is the melting pot of California here. So we have Brits coming in, Germans coming in, French coming in. So that is a draw for them as well to see. It's like, wow, you actually have ciders from France. And then, of course, the third angle is to showcase, like, what is cider from around the world? What does it mean? Because what you see here in California, I mean, yes, there are some that are made from cider apples, heirloom apples, but there's a lot that are made from dessert apples, and they're flavorful and fun, kind of like almost like craft beer angle type approach. But like, what is the traditional way? What is the traditional cider? And it's like, it is more for either the individual who has already tasted ciders and they are looking like, okay, like, the approach, like a Spanish cider. Like sometimes we caveat a little bit, or the one French cider we currently have on tap, we caveat, it's like either you will like it or not, because this is a very earthy cider.
Which one do you have on tap from?
The number 24. The
24. Oh, yeah, okay.
Cider de Fresno.
Yep.
And so, but it's really showcasing like what is out there, and then tying it a little bit into the history too. It's like like we said, it's like you cannot overload people with information, even though we could just talk cider all day long and all night long.
We'd lose them at some point.
I know that feeling. Yeah. So how many cider geeks do you have coming in here? You say it's a melting pot, and it's, you know, the Silicon Valley, this whole region.
It's like I said, we knew there were cider lovers. Yeah. We knew there were, you know, kind of the closeted cider lover, you know. You know they're there, and it wasn't until they heard from social media that we were coming, and then all of a sudden she started getting feedback from people, which we expected to get. But it wasn't until we opened, and now that we've been open, and mind you, we've only been open, this is only the fourth Saturday. So for us, it's been amazing to see how many people who love cider. And it's been amazing to see those who've never tried it at all, and they want to come in and they want to try it, because there's so many, and they just hear from friends or family members.
It's perfect timing.
It's perfect timing for them. Yeah. And they're like, I've got to try this. And it's not until they do try it that they are like, wow, this is something different, you know?
We had an inkling that there were cider lovers here because, one, you have Cider Summit San Francisco. This is now its fourth or fifth year, and it has grown. And then we also participated now 2 years in a row. This year we actually sponsored it. Last year we just had a small ad, and they had a cider walk. So it was here in...
Cider walk.
Mm-hmm. So it's... Last year it was in Santana Row. This year here actually in Willow Glen on Main Street on Lincoln Avenue. It's about 700-800 people. Like, you buy tickets and you go into the various stores where they actually pour cider. So like from that we knew that there was an interest.
And what would they be pouring on those walks? Like, would it be your classic where you could get anywhere in the U.S. kind of cider?
I think last year it was like what was commercially like readily available. This year they actually reached out to us and asked us, like, do you have any other more local cideries that we don't know about that might want to participate? So they actually showcased more of the local California ciders this year.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So we knew that there was an interest, even if it's just for the novelty factor. But yeah, I mean, the response from people who love cider has been great so far.
Well, I mean, this is really recent, so you're not even like a month open.
Yes.
So I'll be really curious, you know, kind of catching up with you as time goes on, because I can imagine the space, you know, all of a sudden you need to open up another spot with the growth in cider in California is really something to be watching.
Yes.
And I don't think folks realize the kind of like boomtown scene that's happening with cider in Northern Cal and even in Southern Cal, where, you know, there isn't really those kind of apples growing at the same rate that you have up here.
When we started out, the list, you have the list here in front of you, 26 tap handles of cider, and I think only, what was it, we had five from UK, France, and Spain to start with, and two from Oregon, so that's nine. So that means like two-thirds or so were California ciders when we started out, and now we're rotating through. We have like about maybe a third that we kind of keep repeating or bringing in a new variety of the same cidery, but people were really amazed to see that these are really all California ciders.
So, they don't realize how many cideries and cider makers are in California.
Yeah, you think wine with cider, California in that way.
Yeah.
So in this short amount of time that you've been, you know, kicking butt out here in San Jose and like letting everybody, all those kind of, you know, backyard cider fans finally have their day, what are you noticing that people are going for? Is it classically the sweeter, or is it kind of hard to touch down on that yet?
It's kind of hard to touch down. I mean, we do offer flights. So by us offering flights, it enables them, because we do carry so many ciders. So it enables them to have a chance to get a taste of of each one that they might like based off a description or any sort of verbiage that we've been able to relay back to them. Mm-hmm. But it's all over the board. Believe it or not, with these cider makers, there's not something that's so terribly sweet. And so people are like, that's all I've ever had. I've only had sweet, 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 sweet. But then they start tasting these others. And within the first flight, they've all of a sudden started to get away from what they thought was sweet that they loved to a little bit more of a traditional, drier, maybe less fruity
cider. It makes me so happy.
Cider.
Yes, it's definitely in that direction. I mean, yes, we have... I don't want to pin down a number if it's like half-half or so, but like usually when people come in, they're overwhelmed by the variety, so they ask like, well, do you have any recommendations? And then our question is, well, what have you tasted so far? Mm-hmm. Was there a cider that you liked? Mm-hmm. Even if it's the commercially big name mm-hmm. brands, mm-hmm. just to give us a direction, like where can we guide them to? And then there are some who just quickly say, I only like sweet ciders, and we might have like four or five that we might consider sweeter, but they're really not as sweet as anything that's commercially available, like in grand scale. And I would say at least half are saying, I like dry ciders.
Yes.
So it's definitely going in that direction.
I like hearing that a lot.
Yes.
Because that tells you about that educational piece, that palate.
And that's one of the things that we try to educate them on, too, is just because they see, like, I had a gentleman ask me to say, oh, this is fruit, it's super sweet, is it super, I'm like, mm-hmm. no. I mm-hmm. said, so there's that educational part coming back mm-hmm. again, where just because there's fruit involved in the cider doesn't mean that it's something super sweet and sugary.
Yeah.
It just isn't that way with its craft ciders. Mm-hmm. So, but they might love that fruit. Just a strawberry, a blueberry, a blackberry, and then they can get a little bit of that taste when they drink that cider.
Yeah.
So,
again, for folks out there in Ciderville, we're sitting at this little table here. I have the nose here, Tracy and Claudia, and we're looking at this, the menu of ciders, and they have it listed with the name, the style, then the alcohol by volume or ABV. No IBUs here because it's not a hop cider for one, and it's not a beer, and then the price for each. Then we look up on the nice bar here is probably like a 20 foot long bar, and all the taps are really nice display, and then up high there is what do you call this, like kind of
the digital menu board.
Menu board.
Yeah.
Of course, that's perfect. A digital menu board of everything that is available here. And then there's a cooler with all the bottles directly across from the entrance. And then above the entrance are the different posters. One that says harvesting. And there are these beautiful sketches. Somebody must have had somebody do that for you.
Yes.
Harvesting, pressing, fermenting, aging, and enjoying. And that's that additional educational piece there. You're hitting it on all different levels here, and really, I see an apple picker too, one of those high so there's a Cider Junction piece there with the logo, and then a long pole for those hard to reach apples or pears.
We actually still have to finish some of the decorating. We actually have an orchard ladder that's 11 feet long, like one of these old wooden orchard ladders, and an apple picker bag, a harvest bag. So yes, there is still a couple little things that just mm-hmm. got left behind in the garage.
Haven't had time to really put up yet, as far as the rest of the decor.
Of course, you're moving 100 miles an hour, I really appreciate that, you gave us the time today. You have this kind of feel like I'm kind of like in an apple barn a little bit with the boards over there. Very welcoming, really nice setup.
Thank you.
Right, so easily accessible. So getting here too, like from the San Jose airport, is a stone's throw away, right?
Much.
We're talking about 10 minutes or something like that?
87, probably
10
or 12 minutes. And then San Francisco's a little bit further north. Maybe an hour from here.
An hour 15 to get to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Now there is a cider bar up in San Francisco, Upcider.
Upcider, yes.
Right?
And there are along the way, so here in Silicon Valley, you have up in Santa Clara, you have Rabbit's Foot Meadery and Red Brand Cider. And they have been here for over 20 plus years, making meads first and now ciders.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we they have a that, tasting yeah. room. But down here in the South Bay, as we refer to it, that is really the only place right now, besides us, where you can taste ciders. And of course, they are making it. So there they have an array of what they make.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then further up the peninsula, there are a couple cideries. There is the South City Cider. There is Redwood Coast Cider. But they don't, well, Redwood Coast Cider has a tasting room. But South City does not yet have one. And then in the East Bay, you have to go all the way up to Oakland to go to Crooked City Cider to find mm-hmm. a tasting room. But mm-hmm. in terms of, like, geographically here in the South Bay, this is it. And then you have to go, yeah, either further north or south.
Mm-hmm.
To find the ciders.
And then, so really, for California, which is a huge state, you have only three dedicated cider bars.
Yes.
Which you have your cider bar, mm-hmm. Cider Junction, and then Up Cider, and then down in Long Beach.
Great, Great Society.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty impressive still. I mean, for a huge state to have three cider bars, that, again, is showing you, like, when people think about cider, they should really be thinking about California at this mm-hmm. level. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a growing market
yes.
for sure. You know, when you have the quality of winemakers that you do have yeah. in this state, and you couple that with this expansion into the orchard, what are you seeing in your travels and while you're building this plan? Are you seeing folks, more cideries opening, or people, is there like, I don't know, clubs, like fermenter clubs or anything like that? Are you seeing people planting cider apples?
I think it's a combination. So the ones that are here in the Bay Area, they started, I always think, out of a similar passion as us, and they were not farm-based. I mean, they buy the apples or press them or buy the apple juice.
Right.
But then there's the other track where they buy the plot and plant the cider apples. And I think
so
that's
you are
it.
Seeing
and
that.
there is a growth for orchardists that were traditionally doing. They're still doing it because they're family farms and so
yeah.
forth, where they're sending their apples to the market and they're the eating apples,
right.
the dessert apples. But there is a trend that you do see where they are starting to kind of corner off these small plots of land to plant cider apples.
Yes.
They know
yeah.
about the
yeah.
cider movement,
yeah.
and they you know, there's a big, huge request for you know, these apples, and they're seeing the demand more and more, and so now they're starting to do that, to plant them.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
it just takes a couple of years, you know, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, they're starting to do it now.
But in terms of the actual cider makers, it's a combination. Like, there are
yeah.
some orchard-based, a lot that are just starting out in their garage initially and then move into a bigger industrial space.
Classic.
And then,
classic.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then there are some, like, especially further south, Paso Robles, where you have the winemakers that are now starting to make cider as well and have been
mm-hmm.
really successful with their productions.
Mm-hmm. Even beer brewers are getting in on it as well because they... You know, they do collaborations or they do something different, and that's, you know, that's always been like the craft scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're able to play with different things,
mm-hmm.
And nobody frowns upon that. Everybody loves something different, you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of just the normal traditional styles,
mm-hmm.
whether
mm-hmm.
it's beer, cider, wine, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's starting to get in on it, where they can kind of do these craft beverages.
Mm-hmm. So with that piece, just since you mentioned the craft beer. I'm not seeing any hop cider. Oh, yeah, you did
yes,
have. You have the Golden State
yeah.
Mighty Hops.
And number 6 or 7, one of them. Yeah, number 5.
South City.
All
that's
the
original
hop
one.
Names were already taken.
Oh, the good hop names were...
all
South
good,
City,
yeah.
all the good hop names were taken. Oh, that's really cute. Oh, you got, you know, that's a great part about
I think
cider.
When we started out, I think we actually had 4 or 5 hop ciders.
Well, even Two Towns Hop and Stock. So
okay,
oh,
yeah.
It's
a
rhubarb and hop cider.
Yes, right. That's really popular. Folks coming in, do they actually sometimes go right for, do you have any hop ciders?
Yes. So we do get people who come in and they want the hop ciders, and that's they will it. Literally ask for it. They won't even bother doing a flight at that point. They will come in and say, oh, no, I'll just take a glass of this one. I'll take a glass of this number. And they know exactly what they want. Believe it or not, the Mighty Hops, the Golden State Mighty Hops, is really popular. So they'll ask for that one by glass.
Do you think that's because the cideries are doing a good job of promoting, or where's the buzz, the information links around here? Where are people finding out about it?
I think it's like definitely for that one, it's the marketing.
It's the marketing.
Because they are one of the ciders that is available in cans, and they do great marketing. But
it's a matter of trying. I hear it a lot where people will say, oh, I've had this at this place, or I've had it here, or like they've been able to buy it in cans because they've been able to get it in Whole Foods or somewhere. And they know what they like already.
Partially it's us too.
And because we'll ask those questions and educate them. And then you know, maybe they didn't like hop cider until they actually, because they kind of get that notion that it's going to be like a beer and it's going to be super hoppy. But then I go into the whole background of how the hops are actually added to cider versus how they're actually fermented with the beer. And they like that correlation because they're like, well, oh, wow. And so then they start to do the wine thing where there's, you know, they get the aroma first, you know, and that aroma initially is how you kind of like your flavors, you know, that gives you a really good indication of what you're going to like. That they taste it and then they're just like, wow, this is great, you know.
So I'm wondering, what are you two drinking in your glasses? What is in your glass?
Right now, I actually have the Gallen's Gravenstein, which is a single varietal, and they make the cider up. Well, they have their own apple orchards, 130 acres up in Mendocino County. And they have been growing over 80 varietals of apples. And so this one is a little bit back sweetened, so a little bit more on the sweet side. But I love every cider that they make.
Very traditional styles.
So. Is that what you're also
drinking?
And
that's what I'm also drinking.
You have the 1876.
Oh, did you give me? Okay.
Yeah, we're all drinking that from that cidery.
Yeah.
Not that we don't like all these other cideries that are on here, mind you. It's just that I haven't really had any other cider, so this is a great opportunity to do that. Let's talk a little bit more about the menu, because we kind of started there talking about a little bit of food pairing, and Noah's brought that up. But you have a small plate salad and then some sliders, small plates like a charcuterie board, a cheese board, mixed cheese and charcuterie, and then two nice salads, some pulled pork sliders and flatbreads. A nice complete little menu, perfect amount for a cider bar.
The pulled pork sliders, I actually tried them up in Chicago at CiderCon at one of the, it wasn't actually a cider bar, but there was a cider event where they specifically put pulled pork sliders on the menu. And so what we offer it with a cider-based Carolina-style mustard sauce and with an apple slaw. So there's always, what we try to have is either an apple on it, or it goes well with the cider, or it's cider infused. And so, yes, there was a lot of that we gleaned from, like, this went well when we tried it at other cider bars. And so we put this initial menu together, and then we hired a chef, and so he is cooking based off our menu, but now we're kind of adding on over the next couple of weeks with his input, and even our staff have been providing input. What we are focusing on now is the gluten-free and vegan aspect, so specifically looking at what can we add that's gluten-free and vegan to appeal to a wider request, really, that has come in, because obviously cider is gluten-free, so there have been more individuals coming in requesting gluten-free food options.
What are your hours? Let's talk about that for people coming here. Like, if your kitchen hours, is it from the get-go that you're doing? And I know this is going to be changing, too, over time, so we won't hold you to this.
So I mean, because we are technically a restaurant, so you're technically supposed to have your kitchen open about a half hour before closing time. Our kitchen is open that late, so we're open 7 days a week. Monday through Friday, we open at 4 p.m. We don't open for any sort of lunch or brunch hour, but we do, you know, late afternoon, early dinner type crowds during the week. And then on the weekends, we open at 11 a.m. So we're open till midnight on Saturdays and then 8 p.m. on Sundays, which is a good hour for Willow Glen. It's, people have commented about the hours. They said that they like the fact that we're open, you know, the hours that we are. It enables them to get other things done, especially with a lot of families here. So they have kids. They're really excited, the fact that they could even bring their kids to our establishment now. So that's very appealing to them as well.
Yeah. Well, can you say more about that? Is that because they wouldn't be able to go to a typical craft beer bar? Or?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. A cider bar would have been 21 and over.
So you but because you are a bistro.
Because we're a bistro.
Right, right, you get to do that.
The kids can come.
And we will appeal to the dog walkers. There's a lot of individuals here, residents who have dogs who are walking past us. And so we are expanding and we're building a patio that will add another 25 seats. And so that will, of course, allow that you can bring your doggy in. The doggy doesn't have to be tied up looking in from the outside, which is what happens right now.
that's going to change really quickly.
Yeah.
And do you expect, when you expect to start breaking ground on that piece there?
Hopefully within the next, 2 months?
Hopefully within the next 2 months, yeah.
So within a year's time, a lot is changing at Cider
already.
Junction.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you just tell us a little bit about the name, Cider Junction? So cute.
So,
the short version.
I'll try to give you the short version of this.
Yeah.
All right. It's a great story.
Okay.
We were trying to come up with a name for our place, and we were having some problems. You know, we kept going back and forth like normal, you know, people do. And so I had a dream, and in this dream, I saw train tracks, I saw a train, saw signs, crossing signs, just a bunch of stuff revolving around trains. And I will
mind you, that has nothing to do with
cider. And it has nothing to do with cider, right? So I had told her about this. I said, hey, you know, and she's like, well, write it down. So I wrote it down. I was drawing pictures. And we still toyed with other names and so forth. And it's an interesting thing. We decided to come up with a name, and she, you know, she did the same thing. She kind of researched based off of the dream, and we came up with the name, and we kind of agreed we wanted something catchy. You know, you're always looking for something catchy when you're opening a business, right? Yeah. So we came up with this catchy name. And
focusing on the old and the new. I'm from Germany, so we kind of took the angle. Okay,
like a new world.
Yeah, and kind of like that whole, you know, it's a junction. So we were like, oh, it's kind of where you the crossroads. Everybody's meeting at the crossroads. Everybody's gathering at the cross. You know, that kind of aspect or angle for it. And some things happen, locations and so forth, and we landed here in Willow Glen, and. It's interesting because we are actually right here parallel with an old railroad that we had no idea ran through Willow Glen. And we're right on this corner.
Literally. They're actually repurposing the old train tracks into a trail.
Oh, right where the fence is?
Yes. So it ran literally right past us. There's
still right
an easement on this property, which is delaying the patio, too,
this
right now.
This was meant to be.
And it was, that's how we saw it. So we did research. Of course, she loves to research. So she was on the computer right away trying to, oh, my God, we're the Cider Junction, and we're at this intersection that used to be the old Western Pacific Railway. And it ran from downtown to Los Gatos, and it traveled people for a while, and then also packaged goods and so forth back and forth. Yeah. And then she just said, oh my gosh, it was meant to be that we were here.
But we didn't want to bring really too much of that here inside. I mean, like you commented on what we have inside. It's kind of the rustic industrial approach, and like we have to reclaim wood. Mm-hmm. Kind of, yes, the barn style that we wanted to replicate, but the railroad angle is just kind of a fun little add-on.
That's a little bit of your own history.
It's a little bit of history right there that we,
And now you'll be able to ride a bike here.
Yes.
Probably next summer.
Yes, I think from downtown San Jose and also from further south, yes.
Wow, that's really nice. I always like being able to ride my bikes too.
Yeah. I know.
Different junctions to get cider.
Yeah, it's about a mile and a half down to downtown right. there, about right. a mile and a half to 2 miles.
And you have a little bit of swag there? Drink your one apple a day.
Yes.
All yes. right, in the front of the shirt. Yeah, I like that. We are all like to consume our apples that way. There's many ways to consume an apple, but it's a nice way to do that. It certainly makes it easy, thanks to the cider makers. Well, this has been absolutely delightful.
Yes, thank you so much for coming in.
Yes, thank you very much. It's
and
been a pleasure.
For highlighting
to
all the various cider makers. I mean, I've been listening to so many podcasts. I told Tracy, saying, like, you had to listen. You have to start listening to these. Mm. And it's fun. I mean, we incorporate or we glean from it, too, as we travel to the different cideries and talk to the different cider makers. So
yeah,
it's
awesome.
Been helpful in our preparation as well.
Good.
Thank
well,
you.
That's all part of it. You know, we're all trying to just keep on having cider, you know, moving forward
going
and getting
up.
That educational
yeah.
and going up. I'd like to, you know, just really raise our glasses here and just say
yes.
cheers to
the
future.
Are you headed to San Jose? Do you want to stop at the Cider Junction? Well, download the free app called Digital Pour to get the newest and most up-to-date list of their taps. Some of the upcoming kegs that they're going to be having is a gin barrel aged from the Golden State Cider Company and an Imperial McIntosh Cider from Humboldt Cider. That is an 8.5%, and it is their 2017 single varietal McIntosh, with a twist, of course, because it's from Humboldt. They partially focused this batch to concentrate the sugars before fermentation. It makes for a richer and more robust flavor, in addition to a higher percentage of alcohol. That's a special release and only a one keg per customer, and the Cider Junction has one. And also, there is the Mangogo, which is a mango habanero cider from Two Towns Cider. Some of the other news from the Cider Junction is that they're going to have their first Meet the Maker tap takeover with 101 Cider this coming Friday on December 15th, and they're going to have three of their sample ciders and two special releases, so check that out. And they're also going to have other events planned for January, plus a cider launch event for a cider company that is launching their product in California. That'll be interesting. And a Meet the Women Cider Makers for late January and February. And also, I mean, that's not all. This Cider Junction is happening. Also on the horizon is a cheese pairing event, cider appreciation class, and paint night, just to name a few. Oh, boy. Well, they got it going on at the Cider Junction. And I know myself and the Nose had a lovely time hanging out with both Claudia Derp and Tracy Smith and getting to know them. If you want to find all this information that I just talked about, go to the show notes for this episode number 107 and find out the hours and location and phone number for the Cider Junction in San Jose, California. I don't mean to do information overload because this chat really brought it on, but did you know that there is something called the Totally Cider Tour headed to the UK this coming April, actually April 25th through May 2nd, and I'll be on that tour too. We're going to be hitting amazing cideries, feasting on cider, and enjoying the local folks and the local flavors. Don't delay. Sign up today by going to totallycider.com. A big tip of the glass to the patrons of Cider Chat and the following commercial cideries: Current Cider of Pennsylvania, Big Fish Cider Company of Virginia, and Ramborn Cider Company in Luxembourg. Make sure to ask for those ciders and a list of other ciders at the Cider Chat Going Up campaign page whenever you are out and about. Because by supporting them, you in turn are helping to support Cider Chat and helping to keep cider going up around the world. Join now at the Cider Chat Patreon page. There will be a link in the show notes. Well, I hope wherever you are in Ciderville that the season is treating you right. I will be looking forward to speaking to you again next week as we have another great chat rolling in. In the meanwhile, this is Rhea Wencoller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!